You're listening to Linux News Log, separating the Linux and open source signal from the noise.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/quicksurf. Over 85,000 titles to choose from for your iPod or MP3 player. Hey everybody, how's it going? I am your host, Adrian, coming to you almost live from Phoenix, Arizona, here in Studio MC1 at Quicksurf Internet Services. Linux News Log is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Do feel free to head on over to techpodcasts.com and check out all the other technology-related shows over there as well. Let's go ahead and get into the stories for this episode. I know it's been a few weeks. I've had a number of things happening, family related, and just being under the weather and not being in town and such and so forth. But we're back, so let's get right back into the swing of things. Starting off at the Register, Linux Mint moves to GNOME 3, keeps GNOME 2 Métis, I guess. I don't know. The forthcoming release of Linux Mint will see it shift to the GNOME 3 desktop for the first time, but it will continue to support GNOME 2 users with a separate root and has a shell to ease the transition between the platforms. So they do see the GNOME 3 desktop as the way forward, but obviously, as with all major changes, it's a big shift to make. And GNOME 3 has received a lot of heavy criticism, not from Linus, or not least from Linus, mainly because it changes the traditional way of doing things. Linux Mint members cite poor multitasking and a shift from an application-centric to a task-centric model. So, I mean, it's a pretty major shift, but they are supporting doing it either way, depending on your preference, at least for now, even though at some point moving forward, you will end up running, you know, GNOME 3 if you're on Mint. From CIOinsight.com, Linux Foundation launches the Open Mama project, a message-oriented middleware project. This is pretty neat. Several financial services firms are teaming up to launch the Open Mama project to deliver a new open-source messaging API, according to the Linux Foundation. Now, they've announced that Bank of America, Merrill Lynch, EMC, Exigy, Fixnetics, JP Morgan, and the New York Stock Exchange Technologies will form the steering group to collaborate on Open Mama, which is what they're billing it as, is a high performance middleware agnostic messaging API, otherwise the MAMA Mama, that provides a common consistent layer over a variety of message oriented middlewares. I'm having trouble seeing how this is going to be high performance because they're adding yet another layer. And generally things don't go faster when you add layers, they go slower, at least from my experience. So it'll be interesting to see how well this works. But, it's nice to have a standard interface that everybody uses, but I don't think that, you know, that's necessarily the best way to go at the expense of performance. You know, it might be better to work with all the vendors and make sure they all just provide the same interface, even though, you know, that's kind of a lost cause. But if, you know, all of these large companies, you know, I mean, surely they have some kind of sway to say, look, you know, this is the interface we want you guys to use. Use it or we won't use you. It seems simple enough to me. Anyway, I digress. From ZDNet, Ubuntu Linux heads to smartphones, tablets, and smart TVs. This is pretty cool. Mark Shuttleworth, founder of Canonical, the company behind Ubuntu Linux, will announce that at the Ubuntu Developer Summit in Orlando, Florida, that they will be taking Ubuntu Linux to smartphones, tablets, and smart TVs. He was interviewed in advance of the official announcement and told Stephen J. Von Nichols that their short-term plans are to make Ubuntu 12.04 the next long-term support of their Linux distribution as stable as possible and to give the Unity desktop interface its final fit and polish for both home and Linux desktop users. After that, Canonical will be expanding its popular Linux desktop to all computing devices. So pretty interesting. So they're gonna finish off the long-term support of 12.04, and then the next version of Ubuntu will support far more platforms from what I understand of this. So that is pretty cool. I'm looking forward to that. Also from ZDNet in the Linux and open source blog, another post from Stephen J. Von Nichols. This guy is awesome. Microsoft contributes open source code to Samba. Now, he starts the post off, and I find this hilarious. Freak snowstorm reported in hell. Tea Party agrees Obama is the best candidate for 2012 presidential election. Microsoft submits open source code under the GPL version 3 to Samba. Those are all pretty unlikely, but Microsoft really did submit code to the Samba file server open source project. Wow. And then he continues, this might not strike you as too amazing. After all, Microsoft has supported some open source projects at CodePlex for some time now, and they will work with some other projects such as Python and PHP languages and the Drupal content management system. But Samba is different. They're an old Microsoft enemy. So pretty cool stuff. I'm looking forward to the fruits of that. He lays out some of the history, and you know, it's fairly accurate. Samba and Microsoft have not really gotten along, and so I'm personally a little amazed that they're contributing code under the GPL of all things. So that's pretty neat. We'll see what comes of it over time, but I thought that was interesting to report from SLTRIB.com, money from the Salt Lake Tribune. Utah's SCO group near dead tries to revive IBM lawsuit. Now, we've been covering this since Linux News Log was started way back in 2004. And has it really been that long? My goodness gracious. Anyway, this is just one of those things. It's like a rash you can't get rid of. I kid you not. The almost defunct SCO group of Linden is seeking to reopen its David versus Goliath lawsuit against IBM over claims the technology giant illegally appropriated parts of the Unix operating system in order to create a competitive rival. Oh, boy. A bankruptcy trustee, Edward Kahn, a former federal judge in Philadelphia, decided to continue to pursue two parts of the lawsuit against IBM in an effort to recover money for the Utah company. His attorney, Bonnie Glantz Fattel of Wilmington, Delaware, said Monday. The decision was made after an appeals court turned down the SCO group's appeal of a jury verdict and other rulings from a 2010 trial in a related lawsuit against Novell. It's like, please just give this up already. I find it amazing. It's like SCO. You're as good as, I mean, let's just put this into perspective. Let's say you do win. What are you going to do? Everyone hates you. At least in Linux and open source land, you know, it's like, what could you possibly hope to gain from this, except maybe get some money from IBM and, you know, keep the company alive long enough for it to die once more. I find it amazing that they just won't give it up. Anyway, enough said about that. Things will develop and we'll report on them as they do. From MarketWatch, Jungo launches automotive connectivity middleware for Linux-based infotainment systems. This is pretty neat. The solution that they are offering enables automotive infotainment manufacturers to bring connectivity-rich products to market rapidly and cost-effectively. Jungle's middleware features support for any device over any protocol and with a wide range of in-car management applications. So it's pretty neat. Now, their automotive connectivity middleware for Linux-based automotive infotainment systems is going to be demonstrated at Telematics Munich 2011, which is November 8th and 9th, which is, if you're listening to this after I've released it today and tomorrow, if you're downloading it the day after I release it, I'm recording this on November 7th, but still, nonetheless, pretty interesting stuff. From P PC world, sorry about that. From PC world, Linux Foundation has said that the secure boot need not be a problem. Now, there's been quite a bit of heartburn over the last few weeks while I've been out being sick and doing the vacation and the family trauma and all that other good stuff. If you know me personally, you kind of know what's been going on. But while I've been off doing that and taking care of all that, the Linux Foundation, there's been a lot of heartburn being caused because Microsoft has decided to do this secure boot mechanism that they're planning for Windows 8. And so the post starts off here. There's been considerable concern in recent weeks over the secure boot mechanism planned for Microsoft's upcoming Windows 8, primarily among Linux users and others worried that the technology will make it impossible to run alternative operating systems on Windows 8 certified PCs. Such fears were only compounded when the Free Software Foundation weighed in with its own statement of concern about what the technology might mean for users of free and open source software. On Friday, however, the Linux Foundation added its own voice and perspective to the mix with an explanation of why secure boot doesn't necessarily have to be a bad thing for Linux users. And basically, their thing is if it is implemented properly, secure boot offers the prospect of a hardware-verified, malware-free operating system bootstrap process that can improve the security of many system deployments. Linux and other open operating systems will be able to take advantage of secure boot if it is implemented properly in the hardware, they say. This is the Linux Foundation Technical Advisory Board Chair James Bottomley and Technical Advisory Board Member Jonathan Corbett in the system's six-page document on this. So that's obviously a big if. Of course, and the paper makes several key recommendations to help ensure that that happens. It's a pretty interesting read. I do recommend that you check it out if you're the technical person type. But, I kind of side with them. You know, if you do it properly, you know, I mean, I don't think the goal is, you know, Microsoft's goal is to, you know, attack Linux and lock them out and make, you know, basically, you know, turn into like Apple with OS X on Apple's hardware. I don't think that's the goal. I think what they're really trying to do is malware protection. You know, I mean, Windows, for those of you who don't know, many of you do if you're listening to this show, Windows has been beaten up badly with malware for years. Now, Windows Vista was better. Windows 7 is considerably better, and Windows 8, I hope, is considerably better. And a lot of what Microsoft is doing here is to make Windows 8 considerably better in that respect. But for those of you who used Windows XP, oh my goodness. Wow. It was that bad. So, you know, again, this could turn out badly for Linux users if you buy Windows 8 certified hardware, but if done properly, as the article here points out, it could actually be a good thing. It could actually mean, hey, you know, I have a verified way of you know, this is good. This could potentially be very good. So, there's pros and cons to everything, but you know, I think it's too early to really tell. You know, we really need to start seeing, you know, implementations before, you know, any judgment is passed. Anyway, that will do it for this episode of Linux News Log. I know I'm running a little long. My usual shows are only about 10 minutes long, but I had a lot to talk about. And with that, please do follow us online, linux.quickshrift.com. You can follow me all over the place on the internet. I have everything linked up. I've got Facebook, Twitter, Google+, friend feed, I believe, all kinds of stuff. Just go check out the show notes. Everything we've talked about is linked up in the show notes, which you can find online. If you have any feedback or want to submit stories for me to potentially cover here on the show, shoot me an email, linux@quickshrift.com. Or if you just want to comment, just shoot me an email, linux@quickshrift.com. And with that, I will see all of you on the next episode. I'll see you then. Bye.